When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Friday to you. Yeah, are you ready for a weekend? I think I am. It's 9:08 on KDXU. It is October the 4th, which is my anniversary. Yes, I remembered. I'm not going to get in trouble. And my wife and I'm actually not doing a ball game tonight. I'm going to celebrate a little bit. But Mello is here, too. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
Doing okay?
It's a great day.
How long have you been married now?
This time?
Yeah.
Almost 8 years.
Uh-oh. What year did you get married? How about that?
2016.
Okay, so have you had your anniversary yet this year?
Yeah, it was in March.
So you've had 8 years.
Okay, it is eight. Okay.
Yeah, 8 and a half.
It's confusing because my son was born, like, 9 and a half months after I got married.
Nice.
And he's almost 8, so I get confused.
Yeah, 8 and a half years. Very cool.
Yeah.
We got married in the Jordan River Temple in 1988. And interestingly, and by the way, I love my wife. She's an amazing person.
She's awesome.
Anybody that knows my wife, they're like, dude, how did you get so dang lucky?
Mm-hmm.
She's just an amazing person. And I know that and I understand that. And so everybody that tells me you're lucky, I know I'm lucky. You don't have to tell me. Believe mm-hmm. me, I see it on a daily basis. And even somehow last night she managed to, convince me using her womanly wiles, I think, to work on a on a porch swing last night for like 3 hours.
Oh no!
My fingers hurt from twisting all the screws. Not used to this. You know, I guess
manual
I guess I've become a white collar guy
because
I'm not used to all that manual labor. But the good news is we got the porch swing all done, and we had to take it apart, recover it, and then put it back together.
Okay, so I need a new cover for mine. Where did she find the cover for it?
You're gonna have to talk to her because
okay.
I have no
I'll
idea.
Talk to her.
If I know her, it was from Amazon.
I looked on Amazon. I could not find
okay.
it.
Okay.
So all right. I'll call her.
And I am not available to disassemble and reassemble yours.
I can do that myself, actually.
Okay.
I do those things.
Well, one of the problems with this porch swing yesterday was there are two kind of pivot points they put together with rivets.
Mm.
Now, if you know anything about putting things together and nails and screws and stuff, rivets are meant to be permanent. You can't unscrew it or anything like that. They're permanent things. So I had to drill through the rivet to get it kind of hollowed out enough so that I could yank it out of there and then replace it when we put it back together with the screw, with the nut and bolt.
Wow.
And
I may call you then.
You might have rivets. Yeah. It's, I was a carpenter and construction guy, in my youth.
I
did learn a few tricks here and there.
Very cool.
That have stuck with me through the years. The other thing, and I found this out, so I had a friend who was a car mechanic, and he had all these car mechanic tools. And so I remember one time I had an old 67 Mustang, and I was going to fix the brakes on my Mustang, and he goes, well, do you have, and I don't even know the names of these tools now. I can't remember. But he's like, do you have this and this and this? And I'm like, no. And he goes, well, then you can't fix your brakes. I'm like, what are you talking about? Sure I can. He goes, no, you actually brake drums and pads and all that. You got to have these special tools or you can't do it, period.
Huh.
And I was like, do you have those tools? He goes, yeah, I got those tools. And so he came over and helped me. I did most of the work, but he provided the very important tools to get it done. And so as we were doing the whole swing last night, the whole assembly and disassembly and all that stuff, one of the things when you're old, like me, I'm 58, you accumulate tools. And I know there are a lot of people out there. My wife is one of those. If you haven't used it in the last few years, you need to throw it out, right? I mean, that's always been my wife's attitude. But she has been very great at staying away from my tools. And it's paying off now later in life because I bought stuff say, in 2002 that maybe I haven't really even used in 20 years. But, boy, was it nice to have it last night. There were some specialized tools I needed last night that it was nice to have them.
Yeah, and with inflation, it's a lot cheaper to have held on to it.
Maybe. Good point. Good point. Yeah. So anyway, we got that done today. Like I said, I'm not doing a ball game. I'm going to spend the time with my sweetheart, and we actually have we have narrowed it down to two or three restaurants we're going to go for dinner, and then we're also going to catch a movie I'd never heard of. It's just like White Bird or White Dove, or I don't even know the name, but she wanted to see it.
Okay.
And the time of it is, it worked out good for us, for our timing. So we're going to go see that movie. Chick flick kind of.
Oh, that's a fun one. So. Yeah. What a good guy. Fixing the swing, going to chick flick.
I wanted to see Am I a Racist, that Matt Walsh movie.
I watched it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Was it as good as I think it is?
It was good. People were laughing through the whole thing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It is. When you think about everything that they're spreading. And then what's actually happening? It's just, I really enjoyed it. I laughed the whole time.
So one of the things that I've talked to a lot of people about is with the election coming up, and people, I'm going to vote Harris, I'm going to vote Trump. This is what I heard, kind of stuff. I thought, you know, we're not giving people enough credit for being smart, for being able to tell if there's a lie, if the Democrat says an out and out lie. I always believe that people were smart enough to go, well, surely they know that's not true. And then this whole dock worker strike and the toilet paper thing happened. And I'm like, maybe I'm giving people too much credit instead of not enough credit.
Yeah.
So what happened? We had, of course, a Hurricane Helene came through and caused some problems in Florida. And so we had a natural disaster in the southeast part of our country. And at the same time, the dock workers, so these are the guys that unload the ships in, all along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast down around Florida and Texas and Louisiana and all that. They went on strike. So for whatever reason, our good neighbors and friends went to Costco and Walmart and, the different Rite Aid, Walgreens, whatever, and bought all the toilet paper and bottled water.
So I've heard the reason people do that is because they believe that that is something they can barter with if they need other items, because everybody needs...
Well, you're getting ahead of me here.
Sorry.
Let's talk about, first of all, toilet paper. Where is toilet paper made?
I don't know.
Toilet paper is made...
from trees.
In the United States of America. Almost all the toilet paper that we use, Charmin, all the big brands, are American companies, and the product is made in America. And so if there's a dock worker strike, it doesn't matter in the toilet paper world. It has nothing to do with us unless you're going to ship a giant box of a container of toilet paper from Miami to L.A., which doesn't happen ever. It doesn't matter that there's a dock worker strike. So people are making a run, and we'll get to your reason here in a minute. I understand. But people are making a run on bottled water, most of which is they get from places here in the United States, and toilet paper, and it has nothing to do with the crisis. And by the way, the dock worker strike is over. So
hallelujah.
There's that, yeah. But tell me again why you believe people buy all that toilet paper.
Well, I heard that people believe that that's something they can trade other people, different items that they may need with. But when all that happened with the pandemic and the toilet paper run, what I did is I hopped on Amazon and bought a little bidet converter for my toilet.
Oh, nice, nice.
And I was like, well, worst comes to worst, we can drip dry. That's fine. We'll be just fine.
My daughter, by the way, her and her husband swear by the bidet. They love the bidet. And I'm like, true confession, I have never used a bidet. I have idea how it works and what... Never. I've never, I don't even, I mean, I understand it squirts water in that one area to help clean your, that's all I know. Isn't the water cold when it comes across?
It's not, it's like like room temperature. It's not terrible. You need to control the flow, because if you power that baby up, it's not as much fun. But you can just slightly turn it. No, I love it. And my 7-year-old actually will prefer to come in our bathroom because we have the bidet.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I never, ever had used a bidet before, like, the whole pandemic.
So the bidet is a water spout that is down in the toilet bowl?
So ours can...
And we got to be careful here. We don't want to get too specific.
I'm not going to be graphic.
Okay.
No, so ours just sits underneath the back of the toilet bowl, like the round part. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little flap like this, and it pops up when you turn the water on. Then it comes up, and then it squirts, and then it goes back down when the water pressure's off.
Okay.
And it just hooks to the plumbing, so it's like...
Do you have the option of having it come out warm? I'm just thinking of the cold water.
You can buy a fancy one that's like the whole toilet one that'll actually like warm up the seat as you're walking up to it. There's some like that. Okay. But this is just very rudimentary, and you just turn that puppy on and then pop it off.
I cannot criticize it because I have never used it. I don't know. It just boggles the mind.
Life-changing.
It is life-changing. Yeah. Really that good.
I don't like it when I'm like traveling and I stay in a hotel and there's not a bidet. I feel like I need a shower every time I go to the bathroom.
So you would recommend that Andy and his wife for their anniversary go out and buy a bidet and install it in
your place? Yes, you would love it. Okay. You would love it.
How hard is it to install? Could you do it yourself or did you have to get a plumber?
My husband and his friend did it.
Okay.
They put it on for me. So I don't know.
So it's probably not super simple.
I don't think it's super challenging. I think with all the tools in your garage, you could figure it out for sure.
All right.
I think you should try it. And I think your wife would like it.
Okay. Jan just texted me and said, I saw Am I a Racist? A few standout laughable moments. Khan also putting unsuspecting children of God in demeaning positions despite the foolishness of their beliefs. I found parts of it very unchristlike. Okay. Now that's well said.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. Again, I can't offer my thoughts on it, but... you found it to be
well. I found the irony humorous because mm-hmm. what he does, and I don't want to give away too much of it, but what he does.
Spoiler alert! No,
is
go ahead.
He gets his diversity and inclusion certificate, so he's an expert in quotes of diversity.
DEI.
I think it's DIE.
Diversity, equity.
DEI.
No, I think it's DEI because DIE spells die.
You're
and
correct.
We don't want that.
Diversity. Yeah.
Equity and inclusion.
That's correct. Yes. That's right. So he becomes an expert. So then he starts teaching classes about what it means to...
So is this real or is this...
It's like a documentary. So he actually got people who wrote books about being racist and how to overcome... It's pretty much overcoming your whiteness. Because just because you're white, that makes you a racist because you have all the privilege. And I went to college here at Dixie... college or university before it switched over.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, and that was 8 years ago. And the teacher we had was telling us, I'm an adult, but he was telling us that because we're white, we have an advantage over anybody of color just because of our whiteness. And that's kind of what they were saying in the movie, is that because you're white, you're not even meaning to be racist, but you're racist because of your privilege.
You can't help it, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you were here when I had Max Christensen on. Max is a black man who is a member of our church, and he is a guy who grew up in Texas, and he said in not so many words, he said bull crap is what he said. He says there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be a black man in America.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you want to talk privilege. He says, I get breaks. He says, I recognize them. I understand. I get breaks because I'm a black man. If a job comes down to me or a white guy, they're going to hire me. If everything else being equal, they're going to hire me because it looks good on their whatever,
mm-hmm.
their DEI or affirmative action, which is supposed to be over. But mm-hmm. And he says, I recognize this. And he says, I don't try to take advantage of it, but I can tell you it has helped me in my life. So,
yeah,
I like that.
It's true. It's just, it was interesting. I'm not saying the whole movie was funny and every part of the movie was funny. The irony was amusing to me because he would be teaching these people about because he's taking the other side. He's really a conservative, right. But he's masquerading as this expert on diversity and inclusion, right? And so he's teaching all these people how they need to embrace not being white and trying to see the other side and to realize that just by existing, you're being racist. So you need to be aware of that. Just kind of like shaming yourself because of who you are.
Self-flagellation, right?
Right, right, yeah. Right. And he even had a scene in there about that. But then he would go and interview people. Like he went to a biker bar and interviewed people. And they're like, what are you talking about? There's not racism because we're all people. But by focusing on race, you're creating more racism. And that's kind of, I think, the point of what he was trying to say.
The only credence I would put into that thought a little bit is that for someone who has never been around anyone of color, and there are people out there, I mean, if you grew up in rural Utah or rural Idaho or other rural places, you probably didn't see black people or mm-hmm. or maybe you saw the Mexicans, but they were the immigrant workers, right? That's mm-hmm. all you saw or whatever. And I could see them, I wouldn't say born racist, but I could see them not being experienced with racial people. I'm fortunate in that in my job as a sports broadcaster and sports writer, I have dealt with people of color my whole career. And I found out very early on, they're just people. We're yeah. all people. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You know, and so for me, it hasn't really been a factor. But I could see people without experience of being around the opposite. My grandpa was one of those. You know, my grandpa mm-hmm. was a bit of a racist.
Yeah.
Because the only black people I ever met were on TV.
Yeah.
That's all he ever saw. Mm-hmm. So, but okay. So thumbs up, thumbs down on Am I a Racist movie?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
All right. I haven't seen it. I need to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to see it. I told my wife I'm going to see it one of these days, but not today. Today we're going to something else.
Yes, it's for her.
So, yes, it's our anniversary. Okay. Gosh, there's this cool topic I wanted to get into, but we're bumping up against this break here in 5 minutes, so I don't mm-hmm. know that I want to get there just yet. I will say this. I'm going to read you a story. This was yesterday on The Wire, but I saved it because I thought it was worth noting. Okay, so there was this guy, this teacher in Virginia. And basically, he had one of those kids that wanted to be a they-them. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was a kid that had declared they were, what's the word they use now? Non-binary, I think.
Non-binary. I don't understand what all that means.
Yeah. Here I'm going to read the story. A Virginia school board has settled with a former teacher who sued after he was fired for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. Mm. Lawyers for Peter Vlaming announced Monday that he will be paid $575,000 as part of his settlement with the West Point School Board. Vlaming was fired after he refused to use a transgender student's preferred pronouns. He said it was against his religious beliefs to use those pronouns. He sued, claiming his First Amendment rights were violated. The lawsuit was dismissed by a lower court, but then reinstated and now won by the Virginia Supreme Court.
Wow.
I'm not a big fan of lawsuits. Mm-hmm. If you've been wronged, say you get hit by somebody who's uninsured and you're injured, you know, I understand those kinds of lawsuits and those can be very important. But this one, I don't know that it was a lawsuit worthy thing. I guess he was fired and he felt like he shouldn't have been, but I do stand behind the guy's rights to, not have to call someone what they want you to call them, especially in a student teacher relationship. So I know you have a little bit of a unique perspective on this. Do you want to share or not so much?
Well, I have a daughter who has friends that are, like, identify as different sexes. And it's really hard for me. And mm-hmm. I just try and call them by their actual name. Because she gets frustrated if I don't use the pronouns. But I feel like I can't use the pronouns because then I'm not being truthful. Because if I know somebody's a girl and I call them a boy, then I'm not being true to what I know is true. So then I don't like to do it. And she just calls me transphobic.
How does it make you feel when someone says, well, call me they, them? or even someone you've known your whole life, and now they have transitioned, they like to call it, and have changed their name. So someone you knew as John for, 14, 15, 16 years, all of a sudden wants to be called Patricia.
That hasn't happened to me, and I imagine that I would probably call them by the new name, but it would be really hard. Because you can't really call somebody the other name if they are looking like another version of that person. I don't know that. I haven't come across. I don't know what I would do. I don't know. What would you do?
Well, that's a great question. I think I would be a lot like this Mr. Vlaming guy and mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'll call you by your name. Right. If you want to change your name or if you want to be called something else, that's fine. But I'm not going to refer to one person as they or them. And I'm mm-hmm. not going to, play this game. It's a tough situation. Yeah. I don't want to be thought of as cruel and unkind, no. But I also don't want to play the pretend game.
Right. It does feel like we're pretending that things are what they're not. And I think controlling the narrative of the words you're using is part of the ploy. To say, you know what I mean? They're getting you just like by small degrees, like the emperor has no clothes. Do you know what I mean? You're like pretending that something is that isn't, and everybody else is pretending. So if you don't pretend, then you're the bad guy, even though you're the one that sees the truth.
Yeah. Let me play this little video clip. It's just a couple of minutes long, but this is a British show, so they're going to have that thick accent. But it addresses exactly what we're talking about. Check this out.
Now it's time for Lefties Losing It. Let's start with the wonderful Julia Hartley Brewer, who has had enough of the excessive demands of the LGBTQIA++++ lobby and flat out refused to deliberately mangle the English language to pander to an individual who identifies as a non-binary plural. Enjoy.
Check this out.
Good afternoon, Julia. You know my pronouns are they, them. How are you doing?
Yeah. Thank you for telling me your pronouns. I use correct grammar. So the only thing I would need to refer you to is to your face would be you. But I'm not being rude. You can choose your pronouns. You can choose what you want to call yourself. But you don't get to require me to use incorrect grammar and factually incorrect things. You're not a plural. You're a one person. And you're a female person, so I will use she and her. Thank you very much.
Do what you like, I guess.
Well, there you are. You didn't need to tell me then, did you?
Maybe I'm just making sure people know in case they're watching and they want to refer to me respectfully.
Is it disrespectful for me to use correct factual grammar?
It's not incorrect or unfactual grammar to use singular they, them pronouns for an individual.
Singular they them pronouns, she called it.
Okay, so my daughter does say the same thing. She says that they them can refer to one person. So I get so confused. She's like, can I go pick them up? And I go, and it's one person. I'm like, I thought you said they. Who's the other? She's like, this is they. I'm like, no, this is one. She's like, no, this is they them. I'm like, I don't understand.
How many are, it's like the old Abbott and Costello, who's on first, right? Yeah. They them. I actually had an exchange with our newsman here on KDXU. It was about, I don't know if you remember the person that murdered their parents here.
Yes.
Just mm-hmm. not that long ago, last month or 2 months ago, whatever it was. And in the news story, the first story of the morning, our newsman referred to, police are looking for they, them, because he hadn't been caught yet. And he said, the police are looking for them. And so after the newscast was over, I said, hey, I need to talk to you about this. And he goes, I looked it up. AP is correct in saying it this way. I'm like, okay, first of all, don't be a jerk. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it has nothing to do with AP. I want to understand, is there one person or is there more than one person? Because the way you're saying this person, you're making it sound like there's more than one. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Right.
So it wasn't a matter of AP style. It wasn't a matter of my feelings. It was a matter of misleading the audience, much like you're talking about. Hey, we got to go pick them up.
Yeah.
Them. Okay. How many thems are there? Oh, there's just one. Well, then it's not them. It's he or him.
They identify as they, them.
Her. Well, but it's they, them. No, it's not. It's, I don't know, third base. Right?
I know.
All right. We're going to check in with weather. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, it started to creep into college sports now, the transgender thing. And some Utah schools, two of them, stood up and said, that ain't happening here. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I am Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning into the program. Every Friday, we get the treat of having Melody Finlinson with us on the program. We call her Mello because that's our affectionate name for her. And I guess it works most. Now, your dad doesn't call you Mello, right? Or
not
your husband?
Usually. Both of those don't.
No. You're Melody today.
I'm Melody, yeah.
But most of the... I don't know what that is, so...
Great song.
I'm going to turn it off, whatever it is. That's weird that that's coming on right now. So sometimes I've got something playing in the background, but it's almost always muted. But there are a couple of websites that sneak some live audio in on you. So that's what happened there. I apologize. All right. On the wire today. And I've been kind of watching this one for the last couple of days, but it officially made National Wire now. So this was not on Utah Wire. This was on National Wire, International Wire. Mm. Here's a story. I'm going to read it straight out, and then we'll talk about some of the points in it. A San Jose State trans volleyball player is leading to forfeits from opposing teams. Four teams have opted not to play San Jose women's team, and the latest team to forfeit, Utah State, is being praised by the state's governor. Spencer Cox says there needs to be a safe space for women to compete fairly and safely. The forfeitures are seen by critics as an attack on trans athletes and by supporters as a legitimate complaint about safety issues in women's sports. The player at the center of the controversy is allegedly able to spike the ball at 80 miles per hour, and one of her own teammates says she fears for her own safety every day in practice. Couple of points of fact. Number one, the average spike in women's volleyball is about 55 miles per hour, 100 kilometers an hour. Mm. The average spike for men's volleyball is about 80 miles per hour. This person, this Blair is his name. He's transitioning to a woman, apparently, and so they want me to call him or her, but I'm not going to. This Blair person can spike it at the average male spike speed of 80 miles per hour. Hmm. In women's volleyball, the average spike speed is 55. I believe, Mello, that constitutes a legitimate fear for safety, right?
I agree.
If the person on the other team can spike it 25 miles per hour faster than what you're used to, that is significant.
I don't know. I think that if trans people, right? They want to be trans. That's fine. Why mm-hmm. don't we start doing a trans league and having trans both genders that have switched over and then having them compete? And then I think that would be fair. I don't want to exclude anybody, but I think that's maybe a solution.
And see, I actually agree with you. And I think I don't understand why San Jose State or anybody thinks that letting a biological male play in their league and their sport is okay. What, you know, there's the Leah Thomas thing on the mm-hmm. swimming. There's, you know, there's the case of the male MMA fighter that transitioned to female and nearly killed another female fighter by beating them senseless. I mean, I hate to even go over it again, but males are different biologically than females, okay. Period.
Right, and you're not seeing women transitioning to males and competing in their sport.
Because they couldn't.
Right, because it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. And I just can't understand why there's some confusion over this. It seems so blatantly obvious. If he can spike at 80 miles per hour, and everyone else in the entire conference can only spike at 55 miles per hour, shouldn't there be a red flag?
Yeah, there should be. I don't understand. I think it's probably the political climate in California that's letting them kind of think that that's what they need to do because that's the precedence that's been set by the state.
So the San Jose State team, they played one match. It was against Fresno State, another California school. And then they have now four forfeits, all count as wins for them. So they are on track to be the number one seed when the Mountain West Conference volleyball tournament comes up here in a couple of weeks.
That's got to be embarrassing for them to win by default, though.
Yeah, I think. So it's coming to a head is what's happening. Yeah. I think the conference is going to have to make some decisions. And right now they've made no, the conference has made no statements whatsoever. They're just letting it go. And the San Jose came out with a statement, we are complying with all NCAA rules. And so we don't feel like there's anything wrong with our team or that player.
So what are the NCAA rules? They don't have rules about trans yet?
There is no rule. There is no rule yet in the NCAA.
So it doesn't say trans are allowed or not allowed? It's just not addressed?
There is a rule in international sports that says that they have to have already, they have to have already transitioned like a year, convoluted rule, but they have to have been on the hormones or whatever for the hormones for changing your gender for more than a year.
Right.
And then they can compete. And that's, you know, and I don't like that one either. I think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, you ought to have to compete, like you said, either in a special transgender league,
mm-hmm.
or if you were born on your birth certificate as a male, you have to compete in a male's league. And if you're born on your certificate as a female, compete in the women's league. You can't have it both ways. And that's what they want.
Yeah, they're just switching teams, literally switching teams.
And you have people who were mediocre at best at men's sports, and all of a sudden they go to women's sports and they're really, really, really good because, well, they're men playing women's sports.
I can't even imagine. I can't imagine being one of the girls on the San Jose team going in the locker room.
In the locker room. Can you imagine that? Every game changing and stuff?
No. That doesn't.
I mean, you're a college kid, right? You're supposed to be enlightened and above all this, right? But still, do you, as a girl, want to change in a locker room where that guy has equipment?
No.
No,
that would be
all
awkward.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't, like, they need to come out and make a statement with four teams that have done that already, that have forfeited, because that's saying something.
So the two of the teams, Boise State and Wyoming, made no statement. They just said, we're not going to play. SUU was a non-conference opponent, and when SUU said they weren't going to play it, they just termed it a cancellation because it wasn't a conference game. So this last one was Utah State. And Utah State, because they're in the same conference as San Jose State, counts as a forfeit instead of a cancellation. And that is the one that makes it so that the conference is going to start to have to make a decision. Utah State did issue a statement on its website. It's interesting because the statement was up and then it was taken down, and then it was up and then it was taken down. And our friends at Outkick, and that's, you know, that's Clay Travis's baby, Outkick. He said that they kept trying to get statements from San Jose State. But they said after the story was published, Utah State took the statement down about it all. And then they put it back up. And then they took it back down. And now it's back up. Right now there's a statement on Utah State University's website. I wanted to read a little more, too, of what Governor Cox had to say about this. Let's see if I can find the right page to read you what Governor Cox said. It's quite fascinating. All right, here it is. This is Governor Cox's statement on the whole deal. He said, I stand with the students, coaches, and leadership at SUU and Utah State in their decision to forego their women's volleyball matches against San Jose State. Cox said in a post on X, it is essential that we preserve a space for women to compete fairly and safely. Our female athletes are left grappling with this difficult issue because the NCAA has failed in its responsibility to protect female athletes and women's sports. It's time for the NCAA to take this seriously and protect our female student athletes. I agree. And you know, Spencer Cox and I aren't old buddies. We have disagreed on a lot of things over the years. But Spencer Cox is saying to the NCAA and the Mountain West Conference, saying, hey, you guys need to make some of these rules because this is going to keep happening. Teams from Idaho and Utah and Wyoming are not going to deal with all this California garbage of, you know, of having a guy on a women's team.
Exactly. And we have a caller on line one if you had time.
Yeah.
It's Doug.
Doug, what's going on? How are you?
Yes. Good morning, Andy. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice, man. What you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Unfortunately, a great topic, but it's unfortunate that it is a topic. Just first, thinking back here, what you were saying, why would the NCAA be doing this? If I remember right, when it started first coming out, it was they were just so that they could put a win in their column for the school. They thought, oh, look, we could bring a dude in to compete against the girls.
Yeah.
Look, we're gonna get a win. So it was kind of like a reason for them for that. But so now a little more time has gone on, and I just feel it is so bad for women, for females, and just like you're saying in the locker room and stuff. This is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I feel that our young women are probably have so many question marks. I feel that this is a time where parents should really step up and take a stand and be very congruent and say, look, this is like they talk about the red line of the military and stuff like this. For us, for society and our women, and just for our society, period, I kind of consider myself a little bit of common sense, but I look at this as just totally insane. And
yep.
We need to draw the line and support our girls. Say, hey, this has just gone wacko, and this is where we stand, and we're with you. And we need to try to, you know, right the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, well said, man. Yep. I appreciate it, and I agree with you. I want to read a couple of quotes for you. As we continue the discussion on this, Riley Gaines, remember Riley? Now, mm-hmm. She was one of the girls that finished right behind Leah Thomas, who is a guy competing in women's swimming mm-hmm. at the NCAA championship. She has gone on. She graduated from college. She now works for OutKick. This was her tweet yesterday following news that Utah State would rather forfeit for them play against a guy. This kind of unity is what I and many others who have worked far longer than me have been pushing for over the past 2 years. The gender ideology house of cards is crumbling, and it is a glorious sight.
Nice
quote from Riley Gaines. Another one, my good friend Jimmy Kesson. Jimmy mm-hmm. does a sermon on Sunday mornings. He comes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He does political talk here on the morning show at 7:25. And Jimmy, his daughters were high school athletes. They were very good high school athletes. And he said, I can't even imagine what I would have done as a parent or how I would have felt as a parent. Now, it's too late for him. His daughters are older now. But he said, what I would have done if the other team came to town in basketball or volleyball or softball, whatever it was, and they had a guy playing on their team who hit the ball harder, who ran faster, who, you know, did all the things that guys can do physically because their biology is different. He's mm-hmm. like, I can't even. And then, like you said, imagine going then in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's time to change now. I don't think I want to change. There's a dude in here.
Yeah.
It's time to shower now. I don't really want to. He's not. No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And it also takes away from all the hard work that these women are putting into their
totally.
Athletics.
Yeah, totally.
Because they work really, really hard. And then to have it taken away by someone who's biologically male just to come in and swoop in and take all the glory. Like, those are scholarships. Those are Olympic things that were being fought up in the Olympics. Wasn't there a guy in the Olympics too?
Yeah. One of the things I was noticing, I'm very disappointed in Boise State and Wyoming. I'm happy they decided to not play those matches.
Mm-hmm.
But both times, they dodged the political side of things. They did not want to be a part of the transgender conversation.
Right.
Here's a statement from Boise. Boise State Volleyball will not play its scheduled match at San Jose State on Saturday, September 28th per Mountain West Conference policy. The conference will record the match as a forfeit and a loss for Boise State. The Broncos will next compete October 3rd against Air Force. They are, I mean, kudos to them for not playing it, but they totally dodged it. They did not want to talk about it.
But I think it takes one person standing up. And now that Utah State has done that, somebody else will have a little more courage.
I hope so.
And I think that this could be the snowball of one person. And that's what it takes. It takes it takes everybody, at least one person, to kind of give you the courage. And then you're like, okay, I can do that. There wasn't so much repercussion. It's just, it's everybody's afraid of communicating their point of view because everybody gets canceled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woke. You know?
We used to have conversations about things, and you'd have a different opinion about something, and I'd have a different opinion. And then we'd be like, oh, that's an interesting point. It's not, you have to believe what I believe, or you're wrong. No. Everybody gets to see things from their viewpoint, and that's what's missing in today's society, because everybody's so afraid of the cancel culture.
That being said, I still have a hard time understanding why anybody could believe that a biological male could compete in women's sports and that be okay. Like who's the other side?
I think part of it comes to cognitive dissonance. The person that is identifying as the female is identifying as that because they don't want to see that they're not capable of doing it as a man, or they don't feel comfortable in a man's skin. So they have to tell themselves the lie that they are a woman in order to avoid that dissonance within their own mind. So it helps them survive.
Years ago, I was a sports writer up in northern Idaho. This was right out of college. And we had a basketball player. Very, very good. Her first name was Heather, but she was actually being recruited by Stanford, which is one of the premier women's basketball colleges in the nation. Mm. And she ended up signing at Stanford. And I remember one time I told her, I was writing a feature story about her. I said, hey, let's play a little hoops together. Just see how we do. I was better than her, Mello. We were pretty close, pretty similar. She was like 6'4". She was almost my size.
Wow.
But I was better than her. I was quicker. I was stronger. I could jump higher. And here is a girl. I was a very average basketball player back then. I would have been in my 20s and early to mid 20s. Mm-hmm. I was very average for a guy. I was good, but I wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, serviceable, they used to call me. And I was beating a girl who was one of the top 25 players in the nation, and beating her handily. At first I was like, hey, I'm good. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, biologically, I'm very different than her. Mm-hmm. I don't have wide hips. I don't have, you know, breasts. I don't, I kind of have man breasts now, but that's different.
Those are called moobs,
yeah. And it was just like, you know, when I was a missionary, I used to love to play tennis when I was a young man. When I was a missionary, I played the number one ranked player in the state of Pennsylvania, female, and I beat her 6-0, 6-1. I wasn't that great of a tennis player. I was good, but I wasn't great at tennis. It's just that I hit the ball harder, I was faster, I was stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about.
Right. Biology.
Biology. Mm-hmm. How'd you do in biology, by the way? Did you pass anything?
Actually, I did pretty well in biology, cool. Yeah.
I have a biology story I might tell you when we're off the air. Right now, I got to play a commercial, though, so we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Ah, the time is drawing nigh. Only a couple of minutes left on the program. I want to thank Melody for being a part of things. Mello.
Thanks for having me.
I like Mello. Once I can purge the whole Carmelo Anthony thing out of my brain, I can call you Mello.
Yeah.
So it's mostly gone. I don't like that guy though. All right, a couple of more thoughts on this whole transgender playing and men playing in women's sports, basically. Here's a statement from Utah House Speaker Mike Schultz. After he learned of the USU forfeit, he said, there were people on behalf of the players who reached out to us first. There have been several key people talking to the university president, including myself and Representative Kira Berkland. He told this, I'm reading from KUTV2.com. I think the KUTV.com actually is the website. If you'll remember, Berkland led efforts in Utah law to prevent trans athletes from playing in girls' sports. However, the measure, although it passed both the House and the Senate, was vetoed by Spencer Cox. Cox gave the reason, this is me talking, not the article. Cox gave the reason that, unfortunately, we're not ready to outlaw it because that will lead to a lot of lawsuits. People weren't buying that. People were like, yeah, come on, he's being a wimp. I actually kind of believe Cox because I think he doesn't want women in men's sports either. I mean, men in women's sports either. But I think we need to refine the wording of the law to make it so that There aren't a bunch of lawsuits out there because Utah can't afford to get sued for millions and millions and millions of dollars all the time.
True.
In the case of USU volleyball, Schultz said it was ultimately the players who made the decision. Imagine that, a player vote.
Nice.
In the locker room. Faculty took the position, we're going to support our players whatever they decide. Utah State University, oh, there's a statement again by the school, will not participate in the volleyball match scheduled October 23rd. The university will abide by Mountain West Conference policy regarding how this match is recorded. We will take a forfeit.
Nice.
So I just feel like they did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, at this point, we've got to start addressing this. We can't dodge it.
Right.
We need to take it head on. Mountain West Conference, NCAA, they've got to go out there and say, you know what? There needs to be maybe a trans league or something else. They can't, we can't have these guys playing our women's sports.
Right. They're taking over.
It's not right. Mello, thanks for helping out. By the way, tomorrow morning, Mello and I will be on ESPN Radio talking marathon as the marathon gets, in fact, you're going to be in a pace car, right?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It's going to be fun. Please tune in tomorrow morning on ESPN 97.7 FM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.